gets on my nerves. I get on my nerves so much. I'm like, dude, just sit down and do your freaking work. And I'm like, but there's a snow cone shop right around the corner and they're going to close. Today is the last day. And I'm like, oh. I swear.
Oh, and welcome back to A Year Unhinged. Today we have with us Zay, who is going to be talking to us about his mental health journey, neurodivergence, and all of that fun stuff. And who knows, we might go off on a tangent or 12. You never know. Anything is possible. Because we are unhinged, and we refuse to be hinged.
We will never be hinged.
We will never be hinged.
Love it. We will always be hinged. Never un. Yeah. You said something about, you know, going on a tangent. I'm guaranteeing a tangent, at least three. You know, okay. I don't even know how long this is going to last, but you'll see.
Hey, we're here for it.
Okay.
Bet.
It's a good time.
Ready for it. Well, why don't you introduce yourself? Say who you are, what's up in your world. Take it away, Penny.
Me, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, yeah. You are Penny. Continue.
Cool. You are Penny now.
Yeah, I go by Zay. I am a videographer and editor and stuff like that. I do that full time for my own business and whatever. I also have a wife and a child. I think that's it. That's all I got. I mean, that's really the only thing I have going for me is just I have a wife, a child, and my wife works from home and so do I. So it's kind of like we're always just with each other.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good setup.
So Zay and I did a podcast episode talking about just both of our experience with like therapy and mental health and all that kind of thing in the past. And I thought it was super interesting. So do you just want to kind of tell, you know, I feel like you have a really probably an experience with therapy that is more common in men than it would, especially in Black men than others. So if you just want to tell your story and, you know, how it impacted you and whatever you want people to know about it, then.
Right. So throughout my whole life, I was just classified as an angry person. Well, I wouldn't say angry. It was just a very nonchalant or indifferent, including things that were supposed to be exciting or whatever. I would often get in trouble because it didn't look like I was appreciating it. And I'm like, I'm having a blast. And this is how I look. I'm like, this is the best day of my life. So of course it looks like it's sarcasm. And then eventually it started to get annoying whenever people would just be like, you're rude or whatever in a playful manner. But you know, like J. Cole said, all good jokes contain truth, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of hard for me to deal with that, even though I had never really ever had the opportunity, I feel like. Because my brother, he's older than me. He's a very charismatic guy. And my sister, who's younger, she is a very charismatic girl. And so with me being indifferent, oftentimes people didn't even realize that I was part of that family. They're like, yeah, to my mom, how are your two children? It was like, I have three children. It's like, who? That one, Zay. And it was like, didn't even know that because he's never talked about y'all. And I'm like, because that's none of y'all business. Anyways, but although I was typically seen as like angry, it was some truth behind it because oftentimes I would start punching walls, I would start being destructive. And it wasn't until I was a senior in college that I decided, or junior in college, that I was like, this is getting out of hand and this is getting bad. Like, I need to see professional help. Never ever have I ever kind of been like, I need this or need that. It was like, but this is where I need this in order for my marriage to work, just to work out. So I ended up going to therapy. And then after a few months, the therapist told me that he didn't want to be unjust to me. And so essentially he broke up with me because he didn't even feel qualified to, you know, see me further. And so it's kind of like, it was very unfortunate because I've never heard a situation where a therapist was like, I can refer you to somebody different, but it's like, how can I come back from that? Because I've already, you know, expressed my emotions to this one person and then essentially having to start over.
Mm.
So that was that. And for the next week or two, I think it was just all downhill. It was getting bad fast. But that's pretty much as far as I can think of how my mental health or getting mental guidance has come about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience kind of going from taking that leap of getting therapy to basically having a therapist, you know, break right. up with you in essence? Like what did that do to you, and where'd you go from there?
Yeah, well, finding a therapist was easy because it was a therapist that had went to the same college that we went to, although he was older, and so there isn't we never crossed paths. But finding him was easy. The breakup was hard because like, you know, typically during therapy sessions it's just you and the therapist, but then the next time he told my wife to join in, and so it's like everybody's in this situation together, but yet he's detaching himself from me because I'm too much. I'm too hard to deal with, essentially, which has been the epitome of my life. It seems like he's just, you know, doing too much, pushing the limits or whatever, and simply putting myself in positions that aren't what most people would do.
Now, and I'll do a brief explanation for the listeners, even though you guys know what this is, but I'm about to ask Zay about like his experience with the Enneagram, because that's played like a big part, you know, in our previous conversation, in him discovering himself, mental health, and all that stuff. So the Enneagram is basically a personality typing method similar to Myers-Briggs, except Myers-Briggs focuses on behavior, and the Enneagram focuses on motivation of behavior and getting to the core of your essentially survival mechanisms that we developed and adapted from childhood, even like starting in infancy and things like that. You can learn more about that on my other channel. You can type Ennea Chat podcast. We talk about all that stuff too. But all that being said, Zay, at what point did you discover the Enneagram, and what did that change for you?
It was during that time where I was looking for help because I had a whole bunch of anger and stuff like that going on, that it was at the very beginning of that process that my mom told me that I need to take this test and whatever. And I was like, this is bull crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I having to do this test? I hate tests. I hate school. Literally the worst part of my life. But the the test came back and described, or gave an overview over what the type eight was. That's what I am. Type eight, the best type, not to discredit any other type, saying that I'm the best. All I'm saying is type eights are the best. But after getting this
very eight statement,
you said very eight statement.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Nobody has more confidence than I do.
Bree's married to an eight, so she's a big fan.
Yeah. But yeah, so my mom actually, whenever I was in a situation that I really feel like I can never speak about, and they had to come pick me up, my mom and my dad, and she was telling me that, you like to be in control of things. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, you don't know me. Yeah, right. Like, she's not my mom. But it's like, she told me that. And then the next week she said to take the test. And then literally within the description of the type eight says, needs to be in control or power or something like that. And I laughed and I giggled because I was like, this is what you just said. And she's like, yeah, it's like, I know you or something. And I was like, dang it. I was trying hard not to make her right, but I didn't know anything about the Enneagram. So I didn't even know how to answer those questions, except truthfully. But I found that out, and that really helped me understand better of, even though if it's not exactly who I am, it shows kind of like a generalization of how the type eights look for the rest of the world and how we affect them. So it gave me a lot more patience for one and understanding.
Mm-hmm. So can you speak to why that is? Because I feel like a lot of people, it's very easy to kind of dismiss these type of things as like, oh, that's entertainment. And I did for years. And then it's kind of like once you implement the tools with the information, you know, for me, it's just wild how much knowing why you do something changes your ability to choose to do something different or impacts that. So what were some specific moments, if you know, or behaviors or whatever, that learning your motivation as an eight kind of impacted, I guess?
Yeah, I think like learning about certain types really does help me a lot, because I definitely studied the other types a lot more than my own, because I know who I am and I understand the generalization of type eight. But I started to hear other people's like Enneagram type. And so oftentimes, even with the type four, actually, I am a lot more cautious with my words. I'm a lot, I try to, you know, make it a light conversation or whatever, instead of being with like a type seven, where I could just say whatever I want to you and you're going to have a blast regardless.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah.
So would you say as an eight, you know, and for people that aren't really sure, eights tend to really fight against vulnerability, and that ultimately kind of motivates everything. Like something happened to them typically in childhood that made them decide, I'm never going to feel vulnerable again. I will always be in power and control and on top of things, because it was like too much. So there's like this continual need to be strong all the time. And so knowing that, okay, there's this typical dynamic with eights where they also believe what you just said, I'll echo, I'm too much, you know, like even like I'm even too much for my therapist, and like a little bit of, I guess a struggle with, or a lot of it, an all encompassing struggle with that really. So did learning that, yeah, like, yes, you have your motivations and this is why I'm afraid of vulnerability. Did that soothe that a little bit? And then additionally, did learning that like how other people operate make you realize, oh, like they're struggling with their own things. It's not always that I'm too much kind of a thing.
Yeah, I like that last part you just said, that they have their own things that they're struggling with, because I'm a self-preservation eight. And so based off of being an eight itself and then self-preservation, I think of me first. And I'm okay with that. I'm not going to lie to you. I ain't going to act like I'm just going to go out my way to help somebody. I'm like, if that's nothing that's going to affect me, I'm not going to go help. Also, I started to understand that it's not always about what I want or how convenient it would be for me. And even just trying to learn the people within my family better, it also gave me a sense of compassion, and learning those people and learning the types and being intentional with my actions made it a world of a difference. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So how, if at all, do you see the growth and the, you know, the integration, the disintegration, the wings play out for you? And just quick pause again for listeners. Essentially, we go into different numbers within our own. It's a very complex thing. I really do recommend you listen to the other podcast to get like the deep thing. But it's like, okay, when I'm in stress, I might reach for parts of this number. When I'm, you know, a little flavor to my personality, it would be a wing of another number, that kind of a thing, to be very, very brief with it. So how does that present for you?
With my wings or just where I go in health and unhealth?
All of it, if okay. You have something to say about all of it.
Yeah. Well, for one, my seven wing is the enthusiast, I believe that is another name, or as what's, I'm forgetting the type seven. Please help me.
The enthusiast is one of them. Mm-hmm. Enthusiast and the performer's three, isn't it?
Yeah, performer's three.
Yeah, screw type threes.
I think it was enthusiast.
You know what?
It's hard since to find a good one.
Tangents. I'm about to go on a tangent. No, not right now. But type 7 is the something. But essentially, type 7s are described as that kid that's in the class who can never sit down and always jumping and moving. And it's like, bro, stop tapping your foot. It's like, I can't, you know, I have to sit down, but I have to do something. Essentially, that's exactly what the type 7 is. And so my 8 wing, being my core type, then has the 7 wing as well as the 9 wing, except my 7 wing is very like, there was no 9 wing, you know, the peacemaker. I'm like, F that. I don't care about no peace. And so I was just being a 8 wing 7 or a 7 wing 8 because they're so close. And so I actually started to do another tier list over my favorite Enneagram types. And the 7 is not as high as most people would think.
Interesting.
It gets on my nerves. I get on my nerves so much. I'm like, dude, just sit down and do your freaking work. And I'm like, but there's a snow cone shop right around the corner and they're going to close. Today is the last day. And I'm like, oh. I swear. But I don't even know where I was going with that one.
your complex relationship, 7's not as high on your favorite list anymore.
Oh yeah. So the type 7 being the wing is it's a challenge to me because it's kind of like the opposite of type 8, where I would say that 9 and the type 8 being quite opposite. There's the challenger and the peacemaker. Those literally sound like polar opposites. But the 7 wing, I enjoy my 7 wing, I'm not gonna lie, because it helps me be creative and do things and go out and film and shoot things. But I know that not everybody is subjected to my 7 wing. Like, I have to be considerate of other people's energy, time, effort, whatever, and have those balanced wings. And so I'm still working on the type 9 part, I guess. But you know, I'm glad to be the type that I am and the wing that I have.
Yeah, that's cool.
And if you haven't noticed, type 8s are quite confident in themselves and their abilities. And I will say that is absolutely true. I'm so great.
I'm so great. I love that. You definitely seem to fall under the challenger definition, because there's the challenger and the protector, kind of depending on your counter types and how things present. And Mackenzie, my sibling, very much is the protector kind, and you very clearly seem like the challenger. Like, yeah, let's have some beef, let's go if we need to.
I swear, like last night actually, I was coming home late at night and there was a semi truck on the right side and they had to turn, but I was on the inside and I was turning too. And so, but then they blew their horn at me as if, you know, I'm wrong in turning left at the same time as them. And so as they continued to drive, I parked at the gas station looking to see if they're going to refuel so I can go confront that trucker, as if it was really that important. But I've done that a few times actually. And I actually apologized to one of them because I said, I'm sorry. I understand that you have kids in your house or a car, and I'm just basically interfering with that. So I was really upset going to approach you, but I know that you're trying your best to protect your family as much as you can. And so I shook his hand afterwards, and that was a good exchange. Yeah. Every other time I've been waiting, though, I've been at the gas station waiting. I'm like, I swear, please pull up. I challenge everything. I'm like, please, please come to here so I can see if I can whoop you. If you're too big, though, I might just be like, hey, that was on me. My bad for that.
Thanks for sharing. Tell us about that. Is there anything else, you know, mental health wise or anything you want to touch on before we wrap it up today?
Just being open to everybody's situation and also understanding that there's people who are going through things just like you. And if you're both suffering in silence, it's going to be very hard to get better in any capacity. So look for help when necessary and just be considerate of other people's time and energy and emotions.
Agreed, 100%. Awesome. Also, I know you were trying to wrap it up, but I just have to go off on a tiny little thing. Yeah, so the thing that your therapist like said, like, or like said, not didn't say outright, but like suggested, like, oh, I can't really keep doing this, like broke up with you because they can't handle it. That's on them. That is 100% on them. If you are going to a professional, whether it be a therapist, a doctor, any sort of like specialist, anything like that, and they say, hey, you know, I don't think we're compatible, that's ultimately on them. That is not a reflection on you in any way, shape, or form. Although I know from personal experience, it can definitely feel like that. But that's just them either not having the tools necessary to be able to help you, or realizing that they don't, you know, maybe that this is like a conflict of personality and they're not going to be able to handle it. But that's not on you. That's unfortunate that happened, because I've been in the same situation. I had a doctor do that, actually. And I was like, okay, that is okay. That is fine. I never loved you anyway. Goodbye. And so,
yeah, it's awful. It's very invalidating.
Yeah. Sure.
Especially when you're already struggling with all of those voices in your head, and then to have someone you trusted echo that is absolutely brutal. Which I will go on my own brief tangent, and then we'll end it for real.
Do it.
Since we talked about the Enneagram, I am so very, very passionate about getting Enneagram coaching with therapy. And the reason for that is I've done both, and I will continue to do both. And that's why I do coaching, because I want to help people do that. So like therapy, typically it's like you're going through something, you have a mental illness, that kind of thing. It's also just for processing life and anything. You don't have to have like experienced something big and traumatic, but it can be very topical and very like self-guided. Like, here's what I want from you, and here's, you know, what I'm going through, whatever it is. And for me, as someone who did therapy and then did Enneagram coaching and then combined them, if you don't understand the core of why you're doing something, you're kind of healing all of these external pieces, but not the struggle with your relationship with yourself. Mm. And so the external pieces that therapy is helping with need to be addressed. But if you still ultimately don't understand why you do what you do, don't like yourself more than other people, like whatever it is that keeps you disconnected from being able to connect with other people and accept who you are and navigate what's natural to you, then I think it's going to always feel a little bit like I'm at a place I don't belong, like whatever it is, you're still going to have these core messages that prevent you from like healing all the way in a way that's like, I love myself, or I can now put down myself enough to love other people, whatever your struggle is. So my rant is, combine them if you can. The end.
I'd agree with that for sure.
I love it.
Alrighty, thank you all so much for listening and or watching, however it is that you are consuming this media today. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do give us a rating that you think is fair, and consider subscribing or following if you'd like to hear more about this, because we have more episodes coming forever, or at least until the end of a year of time. So there's that.
Say, can you challenge and threaten people to give us 5 stars and subscribe? Yeah.
Challenge people to give 5 stars.
Yeah, threaten them. Go.
Okay, so like I'm gaslighting and threatening at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so here's the thing. If you listened to this point, obviously you have liked the podcast, or you don't even have to like the podcast. All you have to do is like the effort that goes into the podcast, because all you got to do is pop in your little headphones. Or just played in the car. So if you're still listening at this point, you obviously want to subscribe and give us 5 stars, and we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was perfect. Beautiful. Alrighty. Bye.
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 I say we fight. Can I have like 5 minutes to blow dry my hair?
Oh,
I need like 2 minutes to blow dry my hair. Yeah. I just didn't want to do that in the background.
That's fine.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I didn't stop recording until after you popped in and said, we're going to fight. Because that's going in there somehow.